Well, bless your beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 3. This morning, I want to share on strengthened with might in the inner man. Men and women of great spiritual strength and ability had two things in common. They read and contemplated the scripture, and they also had a very strong prayer life. You look at that, I think of the children's song, Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed three times a day. A lot of other people that you read about their prayer life, certainly our Lord Jesus Christ, arising a great while before day, he departed to a solitary place and there prayed, and prayed all night when he chose the apostles and some of these other things. But we need to have not only our personal study and contemplation of the scriptures, but we also need to have a very strong prayer life. And many times we get sloppy and lose one or the other. You know, we get sloppy on our prayer life and we're not praying the way that we should or want to. And also we lose time in our contemplation and reading of the scriptures. And when we do that, then we fail to enjoy the spiritual maturity and the great spiritual strength and ability that is ours. I know at times in life situations, you seem to get almost overwhelmed. I know I do. You may say to yourself, gosh, when do I get to live the more abundant life Jesus Christ came to make available? I'm so busy with all these other things, and I want to live this more abundant life. Well, you know, it's not just the hustle and bustle of work schedules, finances, home chores, children, school, laundry, shopping. I'm getting crushed. I feel like I've been steamrolled. Help! You know, that kind of thing. And then you say to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror, I think. Well, you are, and so am I. And we are not an iPhone. We forgot to plug in last night, and so everything is lost this morning. But there is something we should do and need to kind of plug into to live more abundantly with the spiritual supremacy that we should have in life. The believer's ability to live victoriously and powerfully and dynamically with supreme spiritual power in life is available for us. As a matter of fact, it's resonant within us. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, in August of 2013, I submitted to the Council of Church Elders a study I did on Ephesians chapter 3 regarding this great prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And I shared it with them, and I received back their confidence and their enjoyment, not only of what I shared with them, but their confidence and enthusiasm for what we were seeing in the scriptures concerning this. And I'm going to share a part of it, which sort of fits with the whole study that I did. But in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 14. And this is after the Apostle Paul has an understanding of the great mystery revealed, and he's been sharing that with people. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." It starts off talking about, I bow my knees unto the Lord Jesus Christ. This prayer that Paul speaks and shares for the church of the body is not really a request from God, because God has already done that. He has given us Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has given us strength in the inner man through his gift of Holy Spirit. He's not praying that God will do something, but this, I bow my knees unto the Lord Jesus Christ, is he is just utterly amazed. I mean, did you ever get so amazed about something it nearly took your breath away? You almost lose strength. It's just so amazing. You almost fall over. You almost fall to your knees. I think of that that song by Mercy Me. You know, I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knee, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? Well, you know, this is just so flabbergasting to Paul. It's so amazing that God has granted man, both Jews and Gentiles, all who confess the name of the Lord Jesus, that they were strengthened with might by the Spirit of God within them in the inner man, that they received Christ within them regardless of their background, Judean or Gentile. This was so awesome. Paul is not making a request. He's just so awed. He's thanking God. God, this is so amazing. What you have done for mankind, what you have done in the believing ones, this is so awesome. I fall to my knees. I hardly have strength to stand. See, it's not really a prayer or a request. This is something God has already done. If you've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, this is what God has already done. He, Paul, falls to his knees at this awesome thing God has done and offers to the believing ones, the inner man, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Boy, oh boy. He has granted it to you. He's not asking if God will, but thanking him that he has. This has already been done. Isn't that something? See, I've looked at this and I got a whole new approach to this great prayer in Ephesians. He's not requesting God to do something. He's thanking God for what he has already done. And we should do the same. The word strengthened means to make powerful. In the Homeric writings, the writings of Homer, in the Homeric writings, the word means to be powerful or to be forceful. It is a power one is invested with by the gods. Now, that's Homer's writings. But I think about it because look at all of the comic book superheroes. You know, they've been invested with this power, you know, Green Lantern's light or, you know, so-and-so's ring and all these other people. They've been granted this supreme power that dominates, and generally it's to dominate for the good. And that's exactly, it's a superior power, a supremacy of a ruling power. Now the word might is the ability to effect all the purpose of rectitude. Rectitude means right moral virtue. It is the ability to effect all the purposes of a right moral virtue. Isn't that beautiful? That's what that power is given for. That is the purpose of it. And wisdom, which we know is the Word of God applied. The Word of God applied. Remember, knowledge puffeth up, but wisdom is that knowledge applied. Now, there, the word effect means a power to produce a result, the result being right moral virtue and wisdom, how to act properly, how to act on that virtue in a proper way that brings forth fruit. The word effect is the result that's is the result. I kind of get those two words mixed up at times, effect and effect. Effect with an A is the result. Effect is the power to produce the result. And the result that we are to have is a right moral virtue and wisdom to apply it properly. Beautiful. It is the supreme power to produce results of moral virtue and wisdom, the ruling power required for its performance. But we need to perform. It's all there, but we need now to perform. Did you ever hear of the principle of use it or lose it? Well, you don't lose the spirit, but you don't increase in your ability. You don't increase in your virtue. You don't increase in your wisdom. You don't increase in your application. You know, I think about it. We used to refer to it as an in-depth spiritual perception and awareness. If you want to be a spiritual, a mature and an accomplished or a great spiritual woman or man, you need to develop an in-depth spiritual perception and awareness. And that perception and awareness, the only way, and you can search the Bible, the only way that you can increase your abilities spiritually, that you can build yourself up spiritually in the entire Bible, is by speaking in tongues. So when it comes to our reading and contemplation of the scriptures and prayer, our prayer should be speaking in tongues much more, because it builds us up spiritually. If we want to be more spiritually mature men and women. A lot of times people ask me, Larry, how do I become more spiritual, more mature in the Word? Really, the only way to build yourself up spiritually is to speak in tongues much more. Because it's been granted to you. Now the believing one needs to perform, to turn the potential power, because that the word says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. And the word might is the word dunamis. It's a potential power. And what you want to do is turn potential power into living energy, being vigorously active, spiritually, so to speak, and develop that in-depth spiritual perception and awareness. You need to read and contemplate the scriptures, but you also need to speak in tongues much more, because it is the only thing that builds you up spiritually, or builds up that inner man. It turns the potential power into energy, making it vigorously active. It's up to us to put it to use for what it was designed for. Building up yourself spiritually, that is in the wisdom part. And 2 Corinthians 4 shows the effect. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 16, It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," how often?
Day by day.
Beautiful. Though the outward man is perishing, it literally means is dying off. Men get older physically, so do women. We get older physically, and our capabilities begin to decline. Physically, from a physical perspective. In other words, when you are 60 years old, you may not be able to bench press what you bench pressed at 30 years old. You begin to physically decline or lose some of that capacities and capabilities to do some of the things you used to do. But it is just the opposite with the Spirit of God. It is renewed, how often? Day by day. It gets better. I'm getting better every day. You get better and better. You become stronger and stronger. There is the word inward man is renewed. The word renewed is the Greek word anakinos. It means, kinos means new in that it's different because it's not yet used or has not been used. There's things we haven't used yet, things we have not utilized yet. It's been there. It's not new in the sense that it's never been used, because certainly God uses it all the time, the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ used it to the nth degree. Now, we can develop ourselves the same way day by day in those capacities. In other words, we are not declining spiritually. We should be increasing all through our entire life. If we speak in tongues much more day by day, see, there's so much ground to gain in the inner man, more ability to utilize and things that are even beyond our knowledge or even our understanding. We become spiritually stronger and spiritually more vibrant and more to act upon. How often? Day by day. Not declining, but growing. Sometimes people say, when are you going to retire? Well, it's not retiring. Spiritually, we will be expanding ever and ever in a continued way. Physically, you may retire because you don't have the physical capacities, capabilities, strength that you once had. But spiritually, we are never declining. We can always be on the increase. Isn't that beautiful? See. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, I'll just show you this one. In Deuteronomy 34. Back here. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, it says, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." The word abated, it means diminished. He had perfect eyesight all his life. Boy, oh boy. I would enjoy that. The attributes Moses was blessed with physically and naturally, God grants to us spiritually. And we can develop it day by day if we take the time and discipline ourselves out of our love for God, out of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of our love for ourselves and the body of Christ, to speak in tongues much more. Like I say, and it's been said, you can search the entire Bible and you will find only one thing that builds up the Spirit of God in us, speaking in tongues. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, this is in light of the proper operation of the manifestations in the church, but it also sets for us the proper operation of the manifestation for the church of the whole body. It says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue," or speaks in tongues, "edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifieth the church." It builds him up in the inner man. It edifies him. He, one, you know, the individual that speaks in an unknown tongue, edifies, builds up. The word edify is the Greek word oikos, which is the word for a building. It's actually oikodomeo. It's to build a house. Now, when you build a house, remember the records from the Word of God, the guy who built his house upon a rock and the guy who built his house upon the sand. This is building your house spiritually upon a rock. To build it. In other words, that it has strength, that it lasts, that it is fully developed. Oikodomeo, Batman. It's something. He builds his house. He speaketh in a tongue, builds a house or builds it with strength himself. You see it? Spiritually, he becomes a stronger believer with greater in-depth spiritual perception and awareness. That's how you do it. It's the only way. Let's go to Jude chapter 20. In Jude chapter 20, it only has one chapter, Jude 20, it says, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, or praying in the Holy Spirit. And we know from our study that to pray in the Spirit is to speak in tongues. It says, but you, beloved, why? Because God has granted it to you because he loves you. You are so beloved that you have this. Now your response back to him, logically in love, would be to utilize what he has given you. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. The word building comes from the root word oikos, meaning to build with strength, or build upon a rock. It is a fixed term in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's referred to in Proverbs as the house which wisdom built for itself. Isn't that something? It's the house which wisdom built for itself. We might think of a house as a building or a dwelling place, but really it is much more. Let's stay here in Jude 20, put your ribbon there, and let's go back to Luke chapter 2. These are scriptures that we've read recently. And I want you to see this. because it is much more than just building a house. In Luke chapter 2 and in verse 4, this is regarding Mary and Joseph going to register for the registry for Caesar Augustus. And they went to Bethlehem. And it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of" who? David. There it is. "He was of the house and lineage of David." That does not mean that Joseph was born in the same house as David. It's something much bigger. It's an entire family. It's not actually the building that David was born in, but the house of David is put for the foundation of an entire dynasty. Now, of course, we had that silly show on television, that soap opera, Dynasty. I'm not talking about that show. There's all these conflicts and all these other things. I am talking about a dynasty. A dynasty is a sequence of rulers of the same family. But David's family led to Jesus Christ. That is the dynasty we're talking about. And those who are born again of God's Spirit, who have Christ within them, are part of a new dynasty that will continue for all of eternity, that rules in full righteousness. That's building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, that's what it's talking about. This house that is built is a sequence of rulers from the same family that not only led to Christ, but shall continue to reign in righteousness. It's a pleasure to dwell under their supremacy of rulership. That's the type of building we are after in the church. Now, let's go back to Jude 20, because we want to look a little bit more at this. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves," you are part of this dynasty, building yourself within this great dynasty in the house that we are building, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The words "most holy" literally mean that which is most cherished, where the family treasure dwells, where the family treasure chest is located. I'm a big fan of Antiques Roadshow. I kind of like to watch that. I enjoy it. When we talk about a treasure chest, we talk about a dynasty, sometimes we get these wrong ideas. But if you had for instance, I'm sure you've heard of the Ming Dynasty, the Chinese dynasty. They ruled for, I don't know, hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. But if you had a vase from the Ming Dynasty, that vase could be worth millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. How precious is that vase to the Ming Dynasty? Just a sketch from Van Gogh or Renoir or some of these other great painters have sold at auction for $135 million. I think I read that a month or two ago that they found some sketches from Van Gogh. They were just sketches. They weren't even a finished painting. and they sold for something like $135 million. That's what men look as their treasure chest to their dynasty. Ours is the gift of Holy Spirit. That is our treasure, and we carry it within us. We have that in us, and we can strengthen ourselves by it by speaking in tongues much more. The word faith is that which you are fully persuaded of, you most trust in. Absolutely convinced of. And we are absolutely convinced of that gift of Holy Spirit. That is our treasure. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself on your most cherished faith, that which you completely and absolutely trust in, the gift of Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? Speaking in tongues much more. I don't know how to paint a bigger picture for you that this is part of our heritage, the dynasty of those who are of the house of David, who sought after Christ and saw Christ and continue on in the family of God. The word faith comes from the middle word pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O, and that is the word that's used for convinced, and it really means convinced by winning words. How does that tie it to speaking in tongues? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. The Holy Spirit, meaning the gift in action, that which we are absolutely convinced of, that builds and strengthens the inner man by way of praying in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. That is what Jude was exhorting the believing ones. You have received this gift, the one that Paul wrote of, that God has already granted you, not that he will someday at some time strengthen you. You already have it. Now it's up to you to do the performance of it so that you build yourself up spiritually. You endeavor to build your mind up by reading and contemplating the scriptures. Now you can develop yourself and build yourself up spiritually in that inner man so that you develop that in-depth spiritual perception and awareness. How do you become a more spiritual, more mature, more developed, born-again believer? Read the scriptures, contemplate the scriptures, and speak in tongues much more. You'll get much more out of the scriptures you've been reading and contemplating. That's the kind of prayer life we should develop to the nth degree. To the nth degree. That will help us in our most holy faith, that which we are absolutely convinced of. When we look at the promises of God, we are absolutely convinced of them. And we are acting upon them and doing that which is right. Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Well, I'd like to close this out by going back to Ephesians chapter 3 and finishing out this great chapter on it. It says, and we'll start from verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He has given us that Spirit, and he has given us, every one of us, the free choice to exercise that Spirit and build ourselves up spiritually, in order that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We can act on that which we could never even explain to anyone, but enjoy the power and presence of it. Boy, oh boy. And the wonderfulness of it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I ask you, how does that power work in you? By your free will to operate, and specifically the one you can operate at your will, speak in tongues much more. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, you have to say amen to then. Don't get overwhelmed with life, but rule over life. By that Spirit of God that dwells within us, as we speak in tongues much more, having the effect and increasing in vigorous activity of right moral virtue and wisdom. God bless you.